All right, so this is one of these, I would say, tough calls. During the Adam Carolla podcast a week ago, I think we taped it last Friday, I turned to Ben during the Ben Kitchen, my producer, the Enough About Me podcast, for now, until he bails. I turned to Ben and I said, no, I'm not seeing it. And then he showed me some fucking thing on the computer or something during it, something that's going to fix it. And I was like, I don't know why you're showing me this now. What the hell? I still don't know what it was. What was it?
It's this program that can... So when we have an episode, like the Larry Johnson episode, the Godcast, Larry spiked really hot.
What does that mean? Tell people what that means.
What it means is we did a level check, and he was low. It was right on.
So same. When he says check.
Yeah, when we do that before every interview, check. I check the levels to make sure it's not going to peak out.
We're presuming then that that's how they're going to speak during the podcast.
That's why we're doing a level check.
Correct.
And then he started screaming.
Right. So that makes me sound lower.
It makes you sound really low. And if you heard the episode, it didn't sound that bad. Now, normally that would have taken me about 5 hours to correct manually.
Yeah.
So I found the program that can do it in about an hour.
Okay.
Instead. And I don't have to sit there and manually go in and raise people's levels and lower people's levels. I could just drop it into this file and then it auto corrects for me.
Well, how did it work with Corolla?
It got rid of some of the warble. It balanced out the levels.
It still sounds shitty.
It doesn't sound great, but it sounds better than it was.
Would you say it's worth listening for the people who've tuned in right now? We have many loyal listeners. I told them this morning on the radio not to listen to this one. Just a heads up.
Is it worth listening? Not really, because we didn't get some of the stuff out of them that we kind of wanted
right.
to get out
I
of
I took
them.
Some blame. I said some of the blame is mine. It's my podcast. I did the interview. I did, you know, but it felt like it was the end of a bunch of interviews he had done that day.
It was the last interview he had done.
He's on the West Coast.
And he had done about 4 hours worth of interviews.
He did 4 hours worth of interviews. He didn't want to do it. And I don't know, what was he on? What are people on when it sounds like that?
He was on his headset instead of on just the phone itself.
Is that like what Hubbock was on?
Yeah, Hubbock was on his headset.
And Jeff Perlman?
Yep.
Why do they do that? It sucks.
Because they're dumb. Now, when I do my podcast, I have a guy that tries to do it from his headset, and I go, no, take
Who's
the headset
that?
Off. Russ. Oh, when I do the soccer podcast that no one listens to.
That's not true.
All right, five people listen
What's
to
it called?
SoccerCast.
SoccerCast. Okay, there you go.
And you don't give a shit about it.
I do not care, but I care about
That's
you.
That's totally fine.
You enjoy it. I want you to more people to listen to it.
I love doing it, but... Yeah, so that's one of the things we need to do is to correct those and manually. I don't want to sit there for hours on end to do it, and thankfully I found this program that'll do it for me.
Where are you at with the podcast? We are now about 10 months in. We've done 43, 44,
yeah.
Are you? What's your take? Should we do it every week? Some people want us to do it every other week. I think one of those people is you, so you have to book these fucking guests.
It would make it a lot easier for me if we did it every other week, but... That's tough because the routine of every single week, you know, you listen to podcasts all the time. That routine, you get into that habit of, I know this podcast is going to be released on Thursdays at 10.
And we have people, you
noon.
Get the tweets. I get a bunch of tweets. People like this podcast every week. They're used to it. They have for their lunch or their run or whatever on every Thursday. So I think I kind of want to do that. But does it have to be, when do we stop saying, okay, we got to book a fucking different guest every single week and do stupid shit once in a while? I guess we have.
Not really.
No.
We've only done a couple. Think about it. The AMA, the Ask Me Anything, which was a disaster.
Which sucked. That's Mutt's fault.
That was absolutely 100% Mutt's fault.
Who had such a shitty second half of 2016 when you started there.
There was no compelling questions. I would have asked you so many different things.
So you want
I would have tried to make you uncomfortable because you're the master of making other people uncomfortable. Mm. I would have tried that, but it was a little too lovey-dovey. What else have we done?
Well, I mean, when like the one with the porn star sucked, I just went in and did the one with the producers. But that wasn't your fault either. That's not your fault. It's just so Lisa Ann, the porn star, was going to be on with us. She was promoting fantasy sports. And then right before it started, you said to me, just so you know, she doesn't want to talk about porn.
And I had told her, I said, listen, you know, we'll get to the fantasy sports stuff because it's an interesting evolution
it
in your career.
Is.
But. Like, this is what you're famous for. We have to kind of ask
it.
It's
a little longer form. We want to talk about the past before we get to the present.
Yeah, and she had no desire
to... I
don't have
Lisa on to talk about fantasy sports.
No.
It's not that high in my list of priorities.
First of all, I don't care very much about fantasy sports to begin with.
I don't either.
And I don't care about some woman who is famous for blowing guys to tell me about fantasy football.
Is that what she does best? I'm not a big fan of hers. She's the Nailin Palin, right?
She is the Nailin Palin.
I was never big into that. I'm more attracted to Sarah Palin.
Really?
Yeah, because it's sort of that dirty. Yes, absolutely. You know, there's a
because
there's a
you
Hellcat
know, because you know she banged Glenn Rice.
That's Actually,
I know you were a huge Miami Heat fan in 1994. Yes.
Who's been the big fish? Who haven't you been able to get so far?
The one that I really wanted on with you that I haven't been able to get so far, and I've tried every month, is Bill Burr.
Yeah, that hasn't worked out so far.
No,
we'll keep swinging.
And I've had opportunities to get him, and it keeps falling through.
I thought
the
him the other night. I was watching the Breaking Bad episode. He was on it. Remember, he was on The Few.
Yeah,
yeah. I said we got to get him on at some point. Mine is Brandy Love. We've got to make that happen.
That
I know you got sucked into the world of like. Didn't you fall into the weird world of like?
Porn?
Like her group, like her email group or something where you were.
Yeah, that was weird. So I was looking, I was trying to book her for you because you wanted her, and hell, I've spanked it to her. Mm. And I had to go through this whole weird system. It was like her weird like escort service.
That's what it was, right?
And then I finally got her personal
email. Does she do like escort servicing?
She doesn't. It comes off like she's like a madam or something, but I don't think that's actually what it is. It's more of a swinger service than anything.
How much do you think if she was an escort, how much would a night with her be at like a hotel? Like 50 grand?
Maybe 10, 15?
Oh, I would do that.
Oh.
I would definitely.
Do you want me to email her back?
Yes. Well, can we do the podcast while that's going on?
We will record you having sex
yes,
with Brandy
just
Love.
For me.
We'll get the recorder out.
Good.
I'm going to creepily
we'll
sit
check,
there in the corner,
we'll
make
check the levels.
The levels.
Yes. How's that sound?
Ignore if my pants are off.
Yes. That's the one I want.
Yeah, she. The story behind that is when I finally got her personal email, she agreed to do it.
I remember.
And she said, I'll do it when I get back in town, which I assume was a week. So a week went by. She didn't email me back. Said, okay, I'll email her the next week. I emailed her again. Nothing. I emailed her again about 2 weeks later. Nothing. So I've emailed her about 5 times since she agreed to do it.
Right.
And she hasn't responded. And for a while there, her site went down. So I was like, oh, maybe she's just, done.
Right.
And no, I type in Brandy Love to Google. Brand new scenes popped up. So she
on Twitter.
Done.
She's got a whole bunch
do
of new
really?
Scenes. Absolutely do. Yeah.
Is she always like half of those porn stars? They're always taking like naked pictures and putting them
she
up.
Takes
on
a lot
Twitter.
Of naked selfies. But she's a hell of a promoter. That's why I think I'm surprised she won't come on. She's got some big interracial scenes coming up. She had her first interracial scene last year.
Coming up.
She has.
You watched the trailers.
Well, kind of, but the trailers are really stupid. They don't really. I like a backstory. I need the whole scene.
You need a backstory. You can't just go straight into two people having sex with each other.
Some people can. I admire them. I can't do that. So, yeah. So, Brandy Love for me.
So, you're not like a 5 minute.
No, it's work for me. It's a whole event.
Half an hour to an hour event.
First of all, I do a lot of scrolling, a lot of searching. I like to find a scene I like. It's sometimes not.
I have to praise you about that, by the way, for a second.
Why?
Because you introduced me to Tube Galore.
It's a great site.
That is an awesome site.
And why they're
site.
Not sponsoring this podcast, I'll never know.
I have no idea.
It's a wonderful site. It never ends.
It got me off of some of those sites where you look at it and it's all of a sudden it's like, oh, cool, I'll watch that. Oh, my God, what is that?
No, Tube Galore, you can pick the scene you want. Specific. Let me go right now. Tube Galore. That's weird. It popped up.
Of course it did. Make sure you sign out of Twitter before you do that. That's the key.
Why is that?
Because... Even these porn videos.
But I'm not on Twitter on my Safari, though. I have an app.
Doesn't matter. Because if you click that share button, that's how someone like Pablo got in trouble while he's taking a dump at Fenway. And
what do I care?
If you don't care, then you don't care.
If I
don't
share
care.
Look at these things. German casting. These are like. These
oh, don't go to the German stuff. It's creepy and weird.
That's people pooping each other's mouths, right?
Yes.
Skinny. Vintage, I don't like. Mature, amateur, that's more my avenue.
You can get into that.
Amateur wife, rough, massage, compilation, hot mom.
Oh, compilation's the worst.
No, compilations suck. POVs, I'm not a big fan of.
No.
Homemade, which is the same thing. Voyeur.
No,
Indian, that's for Ken Laird. you have the whole world here. Amateur, I mean, Jesus, all our categories. There's more. Foursome, 9 months pregnant. Again, Ken Laird.
That's
aerobics.
Gross.
Airplane, alien. I'm not a fan
alien.
Of robots. World.
No, I know what you're a fan of the MILFs.
It's always been Asians. I'm a fan of too.
Really,
Asian MILF. But I'm not a fan of like auditions and babysitters. Creepy.
No, that stuff's weird.
Balcony.
Balcony is a
ballerina,
category.
Ballerina, balloon.
Balloon.
So
I don't want to know.
So if I click on balloon on this, where is that going to bring me?
People are making balloon animals out of condoms.
Oh yeah, sex with condom balloon.
Oh.
That's what it is, yeah. Clear balloon. Oh, boy, that is a...
See, you can't watch that stuff because you'll never
you
be able
laugh.
To have
normal... You start laughing.
But if you watch that stuff to get off, you can never have normal sex
oh, you don't
with
think so?
Your partner. How can you? If that's what gets you off?
Booty shake. Bukkake. Well,
ugh.
That's not my world either.
No.
Caged. That seems a little strange to me.
So you like the Asian girls. Do Do you ever get into those videos?
Or I've heard it's Kobe Tai. Yeah.
And you start watching them, and they're the pixelated porn from like Japan.
Oh yeah, that's not my world. I'm checking Twitter. You're freaking me out.
Sorry.
Oh, there it is. Nope. Yeah, Bukkake. I just tweeted it out. I think people will like it. I think they get 10 retweets. Yeah. We're moving along. I think we've done well. I thought it was going to be, when we started, I thought it was going to be, I was worried it was going to be the kind of EEI thing that ended after 10 weeks, but it hasn't. We fought through.
No,
we persevered.
Plugged on.
I would like your co-host, your man, Michael
Should
Hawley,
be my
to
co-host.
Come on here.
Yeah, he wants to. It's just he's busy.
Oh, bullshit.
Right now.
He does not. That's fucking bullshit. If he wanted to, he would have been on by now.
That's a good point. So who
does he fear? Does he fear Kirk Minahan?
He's the only person that's. Well, Jerry, we kind of just threw on.
He was on.
Yeah, but it's the only other person, Marlone? And that was a good episode.
Lou was good. I don't think we'll be doing that again anytime soon.
No, that got him some heat. But I think that's part of the problem for some of the other people. They saw Lou get a little bit of heat.
What's wrong
with that? And they're like, I don't
want to do it. So fuck what?
What are they going to do to you? Nothing.
Dale doesn't want to do it. Dale wants no part of it. Michael,
what are you
going
to talk to Dale about? I love
Dale. He's had a long career.
He has had a long career.
Dale and I have philosophical differences about how to do radio, which I think would be interesting to talk about.
That's fair.
And, I sort of learned a lot from him when I worked with him.
How long did you work with him? Was that a year, year and a half?
A year and a half or something. Yeah. He was fucking done with me, he was like, let's just please leave. Get the fuck out of my life. That wasn't the happiest point professionally. The one podcast I want to do, we're going to work on it, is The History of Mike Salk.
Well, that and The History of EEI.
That's true, but that's
where
a big...
we have people coming in to do quick little interviews.
Yes,
and we'll string them all together. That'll be a fascinating interview.
It will, but I want to do Salk. I want to do Beginning. I want to talk to Wolf and these guys, how they hired him. I want to talk to Holly about it. I want to talk to you and Andy about it. I want to talk to other people at the station. Talk to everybody, the whole Mike Salk
experience. Want a quick trailer for that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I fucking hate him.
It's not a big spoiler.
No.
And he threw accusations, which we won't discuss now, toward me and my co-host.
Which were incredibly wrong. Incredibly wrong. We'll get into that when we do that episode. But he said it to me.
I remember.
And I'm like, no, and I'll tell you why. But we'll
also like, did he really think you weren't going to talk to us about it? He thought that you liked him more than you liked us.
No, there's no one on.
I've never heard anybody say a good thing about.
I like
I've never
more
heard
than
anybody
him.
Say a good thing about Mike Salk. Honestly, not once ever.
I drove Alex Speer home from one of those stupid Foxwoods things we had to do.
Oh yeah.
And Foxwoods is great, but the event was dumb. And I drove Spear home, and Spear's asking me about it. And I was like, listen, we have a lot of similar taste in certain things, but the way he came in was so wrong and so egregious to a lot of us.
Poorly.
I was like, screw this guy. I'll work with him. But
so we get Adam Carolla up here. I would say I would rather listen to this and then just sign out. I like it's not Carolla's. Well, I don't want to blame Carolla because I like Carolla. But I don't think he was into it. I wasn't into it. The sound sucked. And once the sound sucks at the beginning, I check out. This is how long is it? Like 12 minutes or something?
It's 20.
We got 20 out of it?
Yeah, 18 minutes.
But I would say that I wasn't lying when I talked about these documentaries he's done. The one he did on Paul Newman's really good. I don't know about the one that he's got coming out. I haven't seen it yet, but I'd like to see it. And I'm sure he does a good job. The one on Newman was really good.
I've seen a little bit of this new one coming out. It's really interesting. I'm not a big car guy.
Me either, but that's...
But they did a great job making it a drama-filled experience, so...
All right, go get to work on Brandy Love, would you? That's your top assignment.
I will get on top of Brandy Love.
Good, make it happen. All right, Adam Carolla, I dare you to listen. So Adam Carolla is here. He's got a couple things to promote. We'll get to those. First, though, I'm guessing this new documentary is it similar in vein to the one that I liked, which I'm going to say came out last year, that Paul Newman documentary, which I thought was great.
Oh, thanks for watching that. If you enjoyed that, you will enjoy the 24-hour war.
Well, and this is the story of?
It's the story of Ford versus Ferrari at Le Mans in the 60s.
Yeah, and I guess I would ask you, so obviously this is a passion of yours, and when did you start thinking, okay, I can... start doing things, whether it's a TV series or a documentary. When did you start shifting toward this this world?
Yeah, I made an independent film called The Hammer about 10 years ago.
Right.
And it was a big hassle, and everyone really liked it. It was just a hassle and a money suck and all that stuff. I never really thought about making documentaries because I just thought, well, you got to go to NYU and
right.
Have some funky frames on your glasses and a couple of tattoos like Lena Dunham has if you want to make if you want to make a documentary, and I didn't realize that, you know, anyone can make a documentary, and I could just use whatever skills I had in filmmaking and whatever else and steer them toward documentaries. And I started, and now I'm up and running. We got the Newman documentary. Yeah, it's about a year old. But, you know, I always say to people, if you haven't seen it, it's brand new. You know?
Right. That's true.
To me, the Newman doc is 15 months old, but to those who are going to watch it this weekend, it came out today.
Right.
So, and it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. So just in case people are like, oh, I don't know about this.
No, it's no. I'm telling you, I'm not saying it's because you're wrong. We talked about on my morning show. I don't remember how I saw it. It kind of came out of nowhere, and I wound up seeing it. Didn't even know you were involved with it, and it was good. And it does sort of. And I'm, you know, as you are, big movie guy, and I sort of long for these days when like movie stars were like Paul Newman, and they weren't like, you know, I don't know, Ryan Gosling. Does that make sense?
Yes, and although Ryan Gosling won 4 national championships, I'd make a movie out of him.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, I do feel like something has happened generationally where, like, you know, where the McQueen, Newman, Eastwood generation, those guys, I'm not sure that, you know, those guys would be the same stars that they were then today.
No, I agree with you, and I have some of Newman's old race cars, so I sort of had the inside line. Knew a lot about this stuff before it got going, and so the Newman doc came out great, and it's like, it's not a gearhead thing. You can definitely watch this thing with your wife or your girlfriend, and she'll appreciate it. And the 24-hour war is the same thing. It's a story. It's just an epic story about two dudes basically going at it, which is Enzo Ferrari and Henry Ford II.
Where can I see that?
You can go to Chassis, which is chassy.com, and get it. But if you can also get it on iTunes, and you can, your listeners should just punch in the 24-hour war trailer. Just watch the trailer, and then love that. We'll get the movie.
What is your current take on the? It's funny you mentioned Lena Dunham. What is your take sort of on this comedians world now, where you have stand up comedians who are paid to make fun of people, to shit on people, to satire people, like crying because a man was elected president of the United States? Kate McKinnon is singing Hallelujah, irony free, to kick off Saturday Night Live. I'm thinking this is not the comedy that you appreciate.
Well, yeah, that's not comedy. I mean, that's my whole beef. Like, it's funny because I was talking about my podcast about Kate McKinnon, and like, you know, people say like, well, shouldn't she be able to express herself politically? And it's like, yeah, but then you got to end with a joke because
right.
Saturday Night Live. Can't just get up there and pontificate.
But don't, like, you think like? No, I'm sorry, but don't you think, like, if this had happened 30 years ago and they had gone to 42-year-old Lorne Michaels and pitched this, don't you think he would have said, go back and fucking write something funny? What are you talking about?
Yeah, he'd probably be confused. He'd go, I like Hillary Clinton, I like the piano, I like the Hallelujah thing. It's timely and everything, but where's the last page where there's a joke? I must have missed. My printer must not have printed out the last page where we pay this thing off.
Right, it's right.
Like, no, it's just over with me looking at the camera and somberly saying, like, I will not quit this fight, or some sort of blow.
She's,
like,
she's crying. She's actually crying.
I got to say, for me, the thing that always speaks to me, and the thing that I just keep getting back to, and the thing I can't escape from when you talk about, you know, Hollywood or these comedians and they're bloviating and all this stuff, the thing that hits home with me the most and I can't stop returning to is the narcissism.
Right.
I couldn't imagine telling somebody, you know, I'm a I'm a woman of color of a Muslim faith, and I'm a lesbian, and I have a target on my back. It's like, you run a super successful ad agency,
right?
And nobody bothers you. And it's like, yeah, but I have a target on my back. It's like, you live in Beverly Hills in private Denali. It's like, yeah, but I have a target on my back. Like,
but
where's this imaginary target? And by the way, how narcissistic do you, it's the ultimate narcissism. Like you saying, hey, I look pretty good with my shirt off, pales in comparison on the narcissistic scale to think that now that we've elected this guy, he's coming after me. It's an ultimate narcissism.
But you've obviously had a lot of success, a lot of fame in stand-up and television. I mean, when you see somebody like Amy Schumer, who I think could be funny, and I thought parts of Trainwreck was funny, was way too long. But, like, what happens to somebody like that where they, and I know narcissism is what you're going to say, but what happens to somebody when they start thinking that what they say and what they think are that important? What goes on in somebody's mind?
What goes on is, first off, they live in Hollywood, so it's a sort of zero-gravity environment. So you can drop as many wine glasses as you want. They never hit the floor and break. They just float next to you. You know, your opinions get pushed out, and they never get shoved back. They never get challenged, you know. So you live in an environment where you just talk and talk and talk, and you talk to like-minded people, and they never challenge you. They never push back. So after being at the world's biggest cocktail party where you get to just blather on and no one ever challenges you, you start to build this weird sort of immunity up where you think you can just go out and grab a microphone and say it to anybody. And this is what happens in Hollywood. It's what happened in this election. Like, you know, people in my town, Hollywood, that I work in, we're like, nobody votes for Donald Trump. Who
right.
knows going to vote for Biden? He's going to get zero votes. Nobody would vote for him. Do you know anybody who would vote for him? No. I've talked to my nanny. I've talked to my Pilates instructor.
Right.
I've talked to the dean of the private school my friends go to. I've talked to my security guy. Nobody would vote for Trump. I've talked to all of them. Would vote for Trump. And so they just, that's the world they live in. And so once you live in that world, you just start spouting off nonsense because it never gets challenged. And thus, then you go to Indiana and up on stage, you grab a microphone, and you think that you're in the same cocktail party, and you're not. We're working people, and they don't share your opinion.
Right. No, I think it's a total coastal issue. But you know, in a way, worked with Trump. I mean, when you were, you know, with Penn Jillette on the set of Celebrity Apprentice, did you think you were dealing with a man who one day was going to be the leader of the free world?
Penn Jillette was elected president?
No, but you know, when you were, he was in your cast, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Who was in that cast? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, Dee Snider was in there.
Okay, that's probably better. When you and Dee Snider were trying to do some task, did you think, boy, one day Donald Trump is going to be president of the United States?
Well, it is kind of funny, but I don't remember what year I did Celebrity Apprentice. It was after that, but in 2008, after 2008,
mm-hmm.
in 2008, I did, somebody pointed this out to me, I'd forgotten about it, but I did make the announcement on my radio show that Donald Trump was going to be the next president, and I said in 2016. So there must have been something I knew, because you can look it up. It's recorded of me saying more than once he was going to be president and calling the year he was going to be elected. So I had some sort of bizarre inkling 8.5 years ago.
What led you to say that? Other than just, were you just trying to be funny, or did you actually see something there?
I have no idea. I was, you know, you do morning radio, you got to kill 4 hours.
That's very true.
the station I was on didn't play any music, so you tend to pontificate a little bit. But I honestly know there was it was a very specific thing, and it was specific because I said 2016, and I don't even follow election. I didn't even know the election year. Some luck, but obviously something from some little internal voice that probably knew something, and I have no idea what it was.
I got to ask you this, because I'm a fan of yours, and I've been a big fan of Howard Stern forever, since he came to Boston at BCN 22, 23 years ago. It seems like you guys have had an up-and-down relationship. In a lot of ways, for me, Stern is kind of has a little bit of that Amy Schumer thing going on, where I think he's lost some touch with reality. Maybe you guys have a good relationship now, I don't know, or bad, but do you think that's a fair criticism, that Howard's not what he was 15, 20 years ago?
I think that people, I will say that, sometimes people say to me, like, oh, Adam, you're not the same guy you were, when you did Loveline a million years ago, or The Man Show, or whatever it is. And I go, yeah, I got twins now. They're 10 years old. I'm married. I'm a little more focused on being a dad than I am on being a bachelor. I'm not 31. And yeah, I've evolved. I mean, I like to think I'm funny. I like to think that I go out and do a great podcast and inject as much humor as I can. And, I'm not one of these comedians that goes, I'm going to go up on stage, get a microphone, and go Amy Schumer on your ass. Like I realize people bought a ticket and they work hard and they paid 40 or 50 bucks, and I then want to hear some jokes. And so I understand that, but I also get that you evolve, and there's Howard Stern at 39 is different than Howard Stern at 62 or however old he is. And that's okay. Like, I mean, that's fine. I agree. You want to stick with the comedy, and you don't want to, get up there and pontificate about things that no one thinks is funny or no one agrees with. But I do a podcast every day, and mm-hmm. It's not all jokes. It's a lot of my own opinions and a lot of my thoughts, and a lot of the thoughts and opinions have evolved, but it's like you'd want them to evolve. I think, I don't know if I'd want to hear the guy, and now as I think about it, there's certain DJs over the years, like Rick Dees or something here in Los Angeles. And it's kind of sad to hear the 65-year-old version of Rick Dees, because the same as the 28-year-old version of Rick Dees.
But wasn't that the beauty of Stern initially, though, was that he was sort of the... Like, Rick Dees was never a human being. Like, Stern sounded like a human being.
I hope Rick's listening.
Well, I mean, like Shadow Stevens or these, like, big voices.
They're just goofy.
Right.
DJs that were, doing Heine Wine bits and Disco Duck and stuff like that.
Right. I mean, it's a different world.
He was never a human being.
I
agree.
You started, I mean, you're sort of, in a way, like one of the pioneers or whatever you want to call it in the podcast business. I guess you figured it out before the rest of us did, right? I mean, did you look at it and say, okay, this is going to work, there's money here? Or did you kind of go in with not a real idea, but saying, I'll give it a shot?
Oh, yeah, there was no money. I had to pay for it. I had to pay for the bandwidth. There was no money in it. It cost me. Bandwidth was expensive, and it cost me thousands of dollars a month to do my daily show for free. I didn't profit off it for quite some time. So, I had no idea what was going on in the podcast world or how I was going to make a buck off it. And I just, I didn't think about it nearly as much as people think I thought about it. I just showed up and did a daily podcast. I didn't really have a thought about where it was going or how much it was costing or where it would be in 5 years or any of that. I just thought, I'm just going to talk on this microphone every day. That was it.
So we'll let you go. I know you're up against it here. So real quick, so it's the 24-hour war. Is that correct?
Yeah,
the story of Ford versus Ferrari, and you can go to chassis.com to find that.
Did they give you a copy of it? They were supposed to give
it. No, I don't have a copy of it. No, I want to watch it. I'm sure they'll get it to me, and I'll watch it. But you also acquired the Ewan McGregor movie. Is that right, or am I wrong?
Yeah, no, that's right.
And that's the VW Beetle movie?
The Bug. Yeah, I think it's called The Bug Movie.
The Bug Movie. Excellent. So we can sue that. And obviously we can go to your podcast and your stand-up stuff. Are you coming to Boston anytime soon or no?
God, I was in Boston. I was in Boston like, I don't know, a month ago.
Oh, really?
No, I was at the Wilbur.
At the Wilbur, yeah.
That's the Wilbur, right?
Yep, correct. That's in Boston, yeah.
Yeah, I was there not very long ago. So, sorry, Boston, but I'll be back.
All right. No, we appreciate the time, Adam. And we'll definitely check out 24 Hour War. And like you said before, and I'll tell the listeners, if you haven't seen the Newman documentary, look it up, Google it, you'll find it, you'll watch it. It's excellent, so I'm sure this is as well. And we appreciate the time, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, thanks again for listening to the Enough About Me podcast. Actually, you know what? I'm really not thankful at all. You should be thanking me. You get this shit every week, these great podcasts, totally free. Do me a favor. Would you go to iTunes, download it, go to Stitcher, do the same, and leave a rating, leave a review. That's where you can help me out. This podcast is going to be number one again. I guarantee it. And you're going to help me along with the process. So for that, I guess at the end, maybe I will thank you. There's a lot of thank yous going back and forth. Here's the point. Fuck you.